I just told her. Mr. Bratton.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Scott Bratton on behalf of the petitioner. The issues in this case are whether the petitioner set forth a valid social group, and then secondly, whether she could avoid persecution and whether it would be reasonable for her to relocate within Albania to avoid the persecution.
Let me just ask you this. Was there any evidence in the record about the percentage of young Albanian women who have been forced into prostitution?
There's nothing. There was an expert to testify. I don't think there were any percentages given other than to state that it was common that young women were targeted, especially young single women who were living alone were targeted for trafficking and prostitution. In this particular case, the claim was that Ms. Cici would be subject to persecution in the form of human trafficking and prostitution if she went back to Albania. And analyzing this case, we have to look at the second board's decision. And in that board's decision, they addressed one social group, young Albanian women who have been targeted by traffickers. The board's analysis of the issue is very brief. It's contained in one paragraph. Relying on this court's unpublished decision in Paraj Mejia, the board found that this group did not constitute a particular social group because it is defined in large part on the harm inflicted on the group and does not exist independently of the persecutors, which in this case were the traffickers. After this court's recent decision in Escobar, which was submitted by a respondent in a 28J letter, it's clear that the second basis for rejecting the social group can no longer stand. In Escobar, the court held that a social group can exist even if it's not entirely independent of the relationship to the persecutor. This court noted in the Escobar decision that Paraj was an unpublished decision and concluded that there's never been a requirement of an absence of a link to the persecutor. And this is also consistent.
Could you repeat that sentence?
Yes. The Seventh Circuit noted that this is that Paraj was an unpublished decision, and there's never been a requirement of an absence of a link to the persecutor in defining the social group. For example, in Tapiero de Orejula, this court held that educated landowning cattle farmers targeted by FARC can be a social group. So obviously the social group in that case was defined in part by reference to the persecutors, and the court in Escobar said that the fact that it's defined at least in part by reference to the persecutors does not make it does not render it an impermissible social group. The first basis the board gave for rejecting the social group is also not consistent with Escobar. The board states that the group is defined in large part based on the feared persecution. However, this court in Escobar only held that the group cannot be defined solely based on the fact that its members suffer persecution. So I would submit that the board's decision in both respects is deficient in this particular case.
You say the persecutors or whatever, were they properly labeled as some sort of Muslim gangs?
They were Muslim gangs, yes.
And my follow-up to that is, when you're talking about young Albanian women, did that include Muslim women?
It's unclear whether that they targeted Muslim women. The testimony from my client was that she thought that one of the reasons she was targeted was that she was Orthodox Christian.
Yeah, well, see, that's a different type of group, isn't it?
Correct. That's a different group that was not addressed by the board. It was proposed,
right.
But not
addressed. That's why my curiosity here, because if these folks identify themselves as Muslim, I don't know how they equate that with what they're doing with their religion, but that's beside the point. If they're treating everybody equally bad, then I suppose the religion isn't an isolating factor. If it's targeting Christians, that's not here.
And I believe that she did testify that in this particular case she believes that that was one of the reasons, and this was at the second hearing, this was one of the reasons that made it more likely they targeted her, is because of the fact that she was a Christian and that Reki, the head of the gang, knew that she attended church in Albania.
But that's not the social group they're defining here.
In this particular case, the board only addressed one of the social groups. There were three that
were all more or less the same, all three of those groups. None was focused strictly on religion, as I recall at least.
None was focused strictly on religion. Religion was a separate defining factor in the third group that was raised by the petitioner in the brief to the board that was not addressed. Mm-hmm. And as the respondent recognized in the latest letter that was submitted to the court, the board didn't address the last two issues or last two groups set forth by petitioner, and if the relocation issue is resolved in the petitioner's favor, this court would have to remand for consideration of those groups because they were raised and never specifically addressed by the board in its decision. The board only addressed this one particular group.
Relocation issue was mostly based on ethnic background, wasn't it?
That's one of the factors for relocation. And with respect to the relocation, I would submit that the board's decision is entirely deficient with respect to this issue. ACFR 1208.13b2c discusses two requirements in order for there to be relocation. Number one, that the applicant can safely relocate in the country. And number two, that under all of the circumstances, it would be reasonable to expect the applicant to do so. But this second requirement that was never addressed by the board in its decision, and with respect to this issue, we have to go back to the first decision, which is the only one that provided any meaningful analysis of the relocation issue. The regulation also sets forth factors for the immigration judge or the board to consider in determining whether relocation is reasonable. And none of those
relocation question, what's the significance of the fact that citizens of Albania can now travel freely without the need for visas anywhere in Western Europe?
That particular issue, whether they can do so or not, was not before the board in this particular case.
Issue of whether they can do so. They can. Citizens of Albania can travel anywhere in the Schengen area, which means west of Russia and east of the United Kingdom, anywhere, without the need for a visa. Your client can relocate to Paris tomorrow without anybody's permission. What's the legal significance of that?
Well, even if that's correct, that she can relocate.
It is correct. Just take it as given.
Okay, it's given. Okay, I'll take it as a given. And the board has to examine whether it's reasonable under all the circumstances to expect her to relocate. Some of the issues, whether she has any family or ties in that particular area, whether she should be required in order to avoid persecution to go somewhere else where she's never lived before, where she has no ties. Those are issues that were not specifically addressed by the board in its decision. The board simply looked at the fact that she lived unharmed for a short period of 9 months with their sister, and found that that was sufficient for relocation, and it's simply not. Additionally, the immigration judge pointed out a significant flaw with the board's decision in that the board agreed that Dr. Fisher was an expert witness. However, the board entirely ignored Dr. Fisher's testimony that it would not be reasonable to expect my client to relocate in another part of the country.
It seems very odd for somebody who has relocated across the Atlantic Ocean more than 4,000 miles away from her home to say that she was completely incapable of relocating a couple hundred miles.
Well, in this particular case, she's relocated with family in the United States. Her entire immediate family's in the United States. The testimony in this particular case is she had uncles in Albania who would not let her live with her because they were scared that they would be harmed or have problems with the traffickers that were after her. The issue is the board has to look at these circumstances. The board didn't. The board didn't consider Dr. Fisher's testimony in this case. Dr. Fisher clearly testified that she could not relocate, and it's not reasonable that it's hard for young, single Albanian women to relocate in a different area in Albania. And the only time she was able to safely do so was when she was with her sister living in a dorm. Her sister came to the United States. At that point, she was no longer able to live in the dormitory, And that's when she decided that she came to the United States fearing for her safety and fearing that she would be found by the traffickers and subject to prostitution. There's no further questions. I'll save whatever time I have left for rebuttal.
Certainly, Mr. Bratton. Mr. Jenser.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Lyle Jenser for the Government, Department of Justice. The Court should deny Ms. Cechi's petition for review because she has not met the burden, her burden of demonstrating eligibility for asylum under the INA. As Mr. Bratton pointed out, the government has retracted its argument toward the proposed social groups, the reason being that the board did not consider two of them. We believe, however, that on the issue of relocation, that alone is sufficient to deny her petition for review. Now, the facts are, in this case, that she was never persecuted per se. She was accosted once, not hurt, and she was followed. So there's no past persecution. She relocated from Korçë, a small city where she was from and where apparently her uncles were from, to the city, the state capital, Tirana. And she stayed with her sister. But what's most important in that is that she was not in hiding. She was not living on the campus and never going out. She took a job as a teacher. And for 6 months, till her sister left, she remained in Tirana safe. No one approached her. Interestingly, the expert, Dr. Fisher, testified when asked, "Do you think she'll be persecuted?" His answer was, and this is on page 228 of the record, "Yes, I do believe so, because she can identify this man, Reki. And if she takes that out of Korçë, goes somewhere else, she would be a threat to him." Put that together. What that's saying is that Reki, at least the expert believed, did not have influence outside of Korçë. She went outside of Korçë, was not living in hiding, lived there safe and secure for 6 months. The board considered this in the first decision, which they adopted in the second. They went into all the reasons why they considered this. The regulation in question does not require, and I am aware of no case law from either this circuit or any other, that says the board must write an exegesis on relocation, that they must address each factor. In fact, the regulation says not all factors will be relevant. What the board found was that she did move, and not hypothetically, not that she could move, but that she did relocate, and that when she did, she remained for 6 months safely. There was never an indication that anybody was after her, to include this guy, Reki. That, in and of itself, is sufficient for this court to affirm the board's decision. In fact, for this court to reverse the board's decision, they would have to find that the record evidence compels a contrary conclusion. Now, the fact that the expert testified that he did not believe she could safely relocate is only one factor to be considered. The board is not required to just buy into what an expert says. The board balances everything else. And in this case, where we had circumstances that showed she could relocate, that she did relocate, and that she was safe, the board was within its purview to find that the relocation was reasonable and that, therefore, she did not meet her requirement. That is the short and simple of this argument, Your Honors. And subject to your questions, that will conclude my argument.
You said the magic words.
Thank you, Mr. Jenser.
I'm happy to have done so, Your Honor. Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Bratton?
As I stated previously, the relocation issue, there's two issues, whether she can safely relocate, and second, whether under all the circumstances it's reasonable to do so. Looking at the board's first decision, nowhere in the first decision does it mention even the word reasonableness. That is not addressed at all by the board in this particular case. There's nowhere in the decision where the board even addresses Dr. Fisher's testimony and how it's inconsistent with its conclusion. The board didn't, looking at the record, the board didn't consider this evidence. The board isn't required to write a book on every single issue in a particular case, but certainly it has to consider the evidence before it, and it failed to do so in this particular case, and that's clear in looking at its decision. My client lived with her sister, and as Dr. Fisher stated, young, single Albanian women living alone are the group that has a problem. When she did live alone, that's when she had a problem. When she lived with her sister in the dormitory, she was fine. However, she was no longer able to live in the dormitory once her sister left in March of 2002. Therefore, she was going to have to find a place to live. Nobody wanted to live with her. That was a problem. Under all of the circumstances, it certainly wasn't reasonable to expect her to relocate. And secondly, it's unclear whether she would safely be able to do so other than for this temporary period of time that she relocated with her sister in Toronto. I would ask that the board's decision be overturned and the case remanded to the board for further consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. Our fifth case for argument.